the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Ahead and dismiss the kids. They have a Sunday night class. And the rest of you, if you take your Bibles out, please turn with me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We'll be picking up in verse 4 and going down through verse 8 or 9 tonight. And just a simple message, kind of a message of warning this evening. Yeah, there's voices all over the place calling for our attention, giving us different information. I remember specifically, when I think about this message tonight, I remember specifically talking with a man. And remember the conversation, where we were standing. And it just impressed me so much because it was crystal clear to me what this individual needed. And yet it was difficult to communicate. He was talking to me about how that, well, preacher, you know, you say this, and another person says that, and good men disagree, and I just don't know who to believe. And I thought, you know, what a rough place to be in. But you know, that same individual wasn't faithful to church. He didn't read his Bible on a regular basis. And the problem was he wasn't getting continuity in his truth. He was getting a little bit from all these different sources. You know, the problem with listening with too many different sources is there's confusion. You ever tried to listen to more than one person at one time? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, very early on in our marriage, I had to warn my wife about that. Evidently, she thought I was a superhuman, and I would be on the phone talking with someone, and I have problems of focus anyway. I prefer to think of it as a good thing. You know, I can focus on one thing as opposed to other things, but actually it just means I can't multitask. And so there will be noise over here. Somebody's talking in my ear and they think I'm listening to them. I don't hear a word they're saying. I'm vaguely aware of some noise that may or may not be taking place. Men, are you with me? Okay. Yes. And every wife is going, yes, you know. That's what happens. That's reality. Okay. Now, when it comes to spirituality, when it comes to truth, we begin sampling from too many streams and we don't know their source. And when you're drinking out of a stream and you don't know what's upstream, you're liable to get anything in your water. And that's funny when it comes to water, but not when it comes to truth. I want to preach to you a message tonight. Beware the new. Stick to the true. In verses 1 through 3 of chapter 2, Paul the Apostle communicated, and we were talking about this last Sunday, he communicated his concern for them. He says, I would that you knew what I'm going through in just trying to pray for you and be concerned. You know, the labor that I have. He hadn't met this church, and yet he was laboring on their behalf. He wanted them to understand the great turmoil of being a prayer warrior and being concerned for them. Not that they would feel sorry for him or put him on a pedestal, but that they might take seriously their spiritual walk as he did. And that's a real concern because as he comes in verse 4, he says, this I say, not only that you would have greater unity spiritually, a spiritual unity that then might lend itself towards doctrinal unity. In the scripture, unity and doctrine always go hand in hand. God doesn't want us to be unified without truth. That just produces a bunch of lemmings. We don't need that. We need to be unified in our source of truth, that we're following the Word of God together. And there's a danger because there are false teachers out there. He says, "This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." There is a danger, Christian, to us. That's not just to unbelievers. That is to believers. Believers can be led astray. Can we lose our salvation? Well, not according to Scripture, but you can sure lose your standing in the truth. Verse 5, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This passage communicates not only a concern for unity, but a warning against doctrinal impurity. And we have sources coming at us. You know, with the information age that we're in, truth is easy to get. It's everywhere. But so is error. Information is out there. But determining what is truth and what is error, friend, you got to be careful. I want to preach to you tonight this message. You know, no matter the credentials of the teacher, people like to use their credentials. I was teasing my son on the way home. And if you're in the medical field, don't get offended. But I said, you know, what do they call somebody who graduates the bottom of their class in medical school? And he says, "I don't know." I said, "They call him doctor." Now, if you're a doctor and you graduated the bottom of your class, okay, I'm not picking on you. But a credential really, that's a start. No matter the credentials, no matter the enticements, the offerings, no matter the apparent logic, sometimes people's logic really, you go, "Wow, that's really logical." Yes, but is it biblical? Don't let anyone or anything cloud the understanding of Jesus Christ as he is taught in the Scriptures. Preach Christ crucified. In him you have salvation. Let's pray. Lord, help us this evening. Help us, Lord, to stick to your word, to come back to the simple truths that are in your word. We have a lot of voices out there today. I've seen some lately even seeking to ensnare us. Lord, I pray that your word would be the ultimate authority, the sole authority. In your name I pray. Amen. Look at the warning. There's a warning of dangerous false theology in verses 5, 4, and 5. Now, though we are given the Holy Spirit for direction, we are to trust and obey. Believer, I want you to understand there are other spirits in this world. There are other spirits in this world. And that's why some teachers who teach falsehood, they sound really good. They're very effective communicator. It makes me angry when a false teacher is a very effective communicator, okay? Because I know that it's going to snare some people. They do so by polluting the truth, that is adding to it, by diluting the truth, and by substituting the truth. He says here in verse 4, they beguile through enticing words. He says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you." It means to lead astray or to deceive. Beguiling is more than just lying. It's lying with an intent to lead astray. I don't know if you've ever accidentally passed on false information. Have you ever done that? Misquoted a statistic, said something, somebody gave you a story and you were passing it on. And you go, "Wait, that wasn't right." And you had to go back. And I hope you went back and told the individual. Now, sometimes you're not able to do that. That always worries me whenever I pass on statistics as a pastor. There's been one or two times that I've said something and I go, "Oh, my goodness, I said something that was not incorrect." And I had to tell the church and or whoever, whatever took place. This is beguiling. Beguiling means that the person knows what they are saying is false. And Christian, there are false teachers, and some of them have their own television programs, and I believe they know that what they're saying is false. But they're doing so for a purpose. To enrich themselves, to gain followers, to gain, maybe sometimes false teachers do so because they don't want to lose followers. And they know what I'm saying is not true, but if I were to change my tune, I would lose people. Enticing words, drawing away people from the truth with enticing words. That's false doctrine. And Paul the Apostle is concerned about the persuading power of false doctrine and teachers. He says that they would spoil you, verse 5. He says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness. As ye have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up." Verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you." To spoil means to take something of value from someone, to carry away, to rob, or to plunder. I think of the words in Ephesians 5. The scripture says, "See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise." What would a false teacher rob you of? If they gave you something that's untrue, false doctrine, and you believed it, what would that rob you of? How is that spoiling you? Say, "Pastor, I'm not sending money into them," and that might be part of it. You know, they sell you a prayer cloth, or they sell you some angel oil to anoint, and then you get these blessings. That's charlatan. Those are parlor tricks. It does not work. This is not the truth. Well, I believe by leading you astray from the truth to believe a lie, the false teacher robs you of the truth that would bring maturity in Christ. Do you realize that true doctrine brings maturity in Christ? That's why God wants us to understand the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about those gifts given for public ministry. And he says the goal is that we would grow up into Christ, which is the head. And as you take in the truth, as you assimilate the truth, just like eating, that's the picture, that you become more like Christ. But when you believe a lie, it robs you of that truth. It robs you of maturity. Their message is through philosophy and vain deceit. You know that first word, philosophy, there. Philosophy means the love of wisdom, basically. The love of wisdom. Sometimes people that are false teachers, they come with these stories of hidden truths. Oh, never before seen truth. You know, it's revealed through all the... And be careful with that, okay? If it's new theology that nobody has ever seen before, be very careful with that. Because the Bible's not coming up with new things. It was finished. It's completed. God's done giving His Word. We don't need new revelation. We need to take this revelation and understand it and apply it. Obey it. And the study of false doctrine is dangerous. You can be led astray. I've given the illustration before. A friend of mine in seminary, I was sitting down and he was telling me, he says, "Well, I just think it's necessary to study all of these other things." And he was very enamored with some of these other, I would say, false Christianities. Okay. And this individual, he had a love for order. Order's a good thing. I enjoy order. You know, I'm impressed by the military. I like watching military marches. I like watching orchestras and seeing those different things fall into line. But he was enamored with that. And he began to study. And he wanted to know why the church was the way it was. And he studied church history more than he studied his Bible. And he studied some other things. And those are writings of men. History's a good thing, okay? History is a good thing. But can I tell you this? Historians are human. Many times historians are journalists. And they choose what they want you to see. I'm not saying they're being dishonest, but they can't give you a full picture, and the Bible can. This individual now, he became a Roman Catholic. We went to the same Bible seminary together. How did he do that? Because he was studying men's writings more than the Bible. And then he quit studying the Roman Catholicism, and now he's with the Greek Orthodox Church. All these different how does that happen? It's because Christians, through the study of philosophy and vain deceit, can get led astray, and they're distracted from Jesus Christ and the truths of God's Word. And even today, you know, I'm still connected with him in social media. I see a lot of posts about the church fathers and this church father and this great man. What about Scripture? What about the Bible? What about Jesus Christ and the words he had to say? He was led astray. It says, after the tradition of men, there in verse 8. After the tradition of men. You know, there's much steep tradition in the Jewish time. In their time, the emphasis of their religion became the tradition of men, and they left the Word of God. Hold your place in Colossians and look over to the book of Matthew. And I want to give you a real warning about this. Matthew 15, verse 6. Jesus here is speaking to the religious leaders. Now, the religious leaders at the time, they claimed to fulfill the word of God completely, but they were kind of sly. They had little loopholes they would introduce. They would set an extremely high bar, adding to God's word, okay, because there was the Bible, and then there were all these traditions that you had to complete if you really wanted to be ultra spiritual, all right? And then the religious leaders, what they would do, they were much like the lawmakers of today. They would pass a lot of laws for us to follow, for the people to follow, and then they would make up their own loopholes, so they didn't have to do it. This one area, he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth his father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, shall be set free. In other words, they wouldn't take care of their parents because they would say, yes, I have something, you're in need, but this is a gift to God. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. In their tradition, if you gave it to God, if it was a gift, then you didn't have to give it to your parents. After all, God, you know, it's better to give to God than to give to your parents. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophet of you saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, it's easy for us to elevate our own traditions the way we've always done it. Well, that's just how it's always done. Well, I know so-and-so. He always used to say X, Y, Z. If I had a dollar for the amount of times people quoted an individual as being authoritative. Now, are there good men of God? Absolutely. Do they do great things? Does God do great things through them? Absolutely. But be very careful if you find a trend in your life that you're quoting humans more than quoting Scripture. Be very careful. If the way that we've always done it is more authoritative in your life than Scripture, then traditions are taking an improper place. Okay? If the way that the church has always been becomes more authoritative than Scripture, thus saith the Lord. Okay? I'm not talking about compromise, Christian. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes we can get bent out of shape. We can focus on traditions and the way that it's always been, whether it be with clothing, whether it be with the way that, and we can get so focused on these other things as a Christian in the church. And the word of God takes. And so when somebody comes to me and they say, Pastor, this is a problem or that's a problem. I said, you know what? Let's see what the Bible has to say about it. Amen. And if the Bible whispers on it and it doesn't shout, okay, then maybe that's not such a big deal. But if the Bible's very clear, well, friend, right and wrong haven't changed. Our traditions may change over time. You do realize that, right? Many times traditions are based on society. They're based on the current age. And as the ages change, as society changes, traditions might change. The Bible has never changed. Okay? Sometimes we can get a little bit off beat. He says, you can be led astray and focus too much on traditions. I think that's a form of false teaching. Verse 8, he goes on to say not only that, but after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Led astray by the world's teaching and not by the teaching of Jesus Christ. You know, some of the ways that false teachers do this, they do so with sheer volume. If you say something loud enough and long enough, eventually people will repeat it. Have you heard that? Excuse me, believe it. Our news media knows that. You say something, even if everybody knows, you say it loud enough, long enough, eventually people believe it. They did that with global warming. Trickery. Sometimes they do, in the name of miracles or demonstrations of God's power, false teachers will try to gain your confidence. And the man in the white suit stands up and he does these things and he says these things and there's healing. And look at this person who came in and they were healed of bursitis and their hearing was healed. And now they, you know, and he says, and then everybody falls down when he shakes his hand. And these fake miracles that are generated and they try to gain the faith of the audience and of the listener. Be careful. Be careful. Sometimes false witnesses are used or visions. I tell you, I've had a lot of people when we begin to speak about Scripture and begin to talk about spiritual things, and they're anchoring their belief in a vision, in a dream, sometimes in an out-of-body experience. Be careful. Those things are very, very subjective. The Scripture says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but shall no sign be given unto them, but the sign of Jonas the prophet." For as 3 days he was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so Jesus Christ was our sign. He's the one we look to. No other sign. To distrust the message and look for a sign, Christian, will result in us being led astray. So be careful of these methods, twisting Scripture, charisma or personality. You know, I say again, due to the fact that there are warnings in the Bible and these warnings are written to believers, I think Christians can be led astray. And there are believers today who used to be a part of an independent Baptist church and now don't go to church anymore. Yeah. And they're following after some false teacher. I don't know if you've ever asked, but do you know the favorite people to recruit for the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses? You already know that. They're Baptists. Because we take truth and we say, hey, if that's the truth, we're going to follow it. And so a sweet little lady will come to somebody's door and knock on it and say, I go to a Baptist church. Well, that's fine. We want to have a Bible study with you. And they sit down and they begin to study anything but the Bible, a Bible study guide and not the Bible itself. Or someone from a church who says, you know, we love Jesus too and we want to serve him and it's a good thing. And these two, you know, nice dressed young men come to the house or new two sharp young ladies. You don't see people like that in society today. And our heart, you know, it seems to be something about them and it corresponds and they want to talk about the Lord and how that the things in this world are not good and there's so much sin and how we need to get back to righteousness and family and faith. And those messages resound with us. And we don't stop and think that they're coming from a polluted source, and Christians can get led astray. Right. Be careful. You know, this is similar to the words of 1 John. Turn over to 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. No. That's not the verse. Look up at chapter 2, verse 18. No, it is chapter 4. Somebody said chapter 4. You can say it out loud if you see the passage. Thank you. Chapter 4. Nobody here but us. Chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. I was going to read another verse out of chapter 2. I just saw it. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. That's every individual. Okay? Small s. But try the spirits whether they are of God. When someone comes to you, you're talking with someone, try it to see whether it be of God. So what's the test there and why should I do that? Well, many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are those who speak of spiritual things. You realize we live in a very spiritual world. But spirituality is not the same thing as Christianity. Okay? There's more than one kind of spirit. It says many false prophets are gone out in the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God, capital S. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So if an individual is speaking with you when they say, you know, Jesus has come in the flesh, that Jesus is God, okay, Christ has come in the flesh. If they can admit that, then what they are saying is of the Lord. Now, I had a man do that one time, and he says he used this verse to try and convince me that the rest of what he was saying was right. Well, the rest of what he was saying didn't match with Scripture. That statement did. He said, doesn't the Bible say that I'm of God if I say that? And I said, well, when you say that, you're of God. But the rest of the, what you're saying is not of God. He was trying to get me. He told me that I missed my calling and I was a pastor. But if I would repent, I could become a deacon in the Catholic Church and still get saved. Honest to goodness. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, those that try to lead you away from Christ. Which, by the way, that's the biggest problem with the Catholic Church, is that the Catholic Church has placed itself in between the individual and God. The Pope came out and admitted it this week, which has been written in their canons for many hundreds of years, that they say there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. That you must come to God through the church. That is what they teach and believe. Well, friend, that is not true. The Scripture says in the book of 1 Timothy, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's right.
Amen.
We have a relationship with God. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we come directly to God through Jesus Christ. So we must try these things by the Word of God. You know, I cringe at the mass propagation of false doctrine. I cringe at the logical arguments of false teachers when they begin to make sense. And I say, Lord, frustrate their plan. Help them not to make sense. Help them to mess up their notes or say something that people, you know. And it's because our flesh answers back to false doctrine many times, to the desire to gain wealth. And they say, do this and you know, say this chant or say this prayer and you'll become wealthy. And oh, Lord, please, this is so, protect the hearts and minds of your people. And I begin to pray these things. And Christians, I can't control those, but I can warn you. Stick to what's true. There's a call to remain true to Christ. Look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 2. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ. If you've been saved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ by the words from Scripture, if that has taken place, then friend, so walk ye in Him. Remember your reception of Christ. It was by the truth of God's Word. Continue in that. Be obedient to the truth. Continually pursue a greater knowledge of this, of God's Word. Greater knowledge, fellowship, and obedience to Jesus Christ. Not in all these other sources. You know, it's no accident that every year about the time of Easter, we get these things on TV, on the History Channel. Well, you got to believe it. It's the History Channel. The History Channel has documentaries on aliens, okay? Be careful there. And they'll say, you know, this lost book of the Bible, the lost gospel. Listen, there are lost books, but there are no lost books of the Bible. Because our God has promised to preserve His Word. If something was lost, it wasn't His Word. I don't sweat it. Is God able to preserve His Word? Yes or no? Amen. So if He promised He would do it, the God that cannot lie, therefore did it. What we have is what God intended for us to have. These other things that come up every year wanting to divert us from the truth. He says, stick with the truth. Obey the truth. Look at there, verse 7 as well. Draw strength from the truth, rooted and built up in Him. It's a picture of a tree that sinks. It's not only planted, but that tree continues to send its roots out more and more, further and further, drawing strength from the ground. You know, I think of the words of Psalm chapter 1, of you and I, that if we meditate on the Word of God, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's when we meditate on the Word of God and draw our daily strength from the Word of God. I was speaking with somebody this evening about having a daily time in God's Word. And so often I speak with believers and even myself, and I've caught myself, you know, with this. Well, you know, God, I need to have God forgive me, and I don't know how often I need to have time. Is daily, you know, I missed today. I need to confess that. Is it a sin? Well, okay, I'm not telling you to feel guilty. What I'm telling you is this. If you want a strong Christian life, then you need daily nutrition spiritually. It's not a choice of, you know, it's not a choice of sin or not sin. It's a choice of, you know, am I going to be a strong Christian or a weak Christian? And a strong Christian feeds himself daily from the Word of God throughout the day. Pray without ceasing. Meditate on these things the Bible tells us to do. The more of God's Word that fills your heart, Christian, the more in tune with Him you will be. The more of God's Word that fills your heart, the more the influence of God's Word will be in your life. If you want to win the battle of the flesh, then God's Word must be brought in on a daily basis, on a frequent basis. We struggle with our desires, don't we? Many times we know what is right, but we struggle with the overwhelming desire to do what is right. A lot of times we do what's wrong because our flesh wanted to, and we just gave into the flesh. Yeah. So if you want the Spirit to be stronger than the flesh, as Galatians 5:16 says, we need to be feeding the Spirit. Rooted and grounded, built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with all thanksgiving. How much is enough? Well, I would say as much as you can get. Studying God's Word daily, thinking about it. What did He tell His children in Deuteronomy? He says, teach your children when you're walking in the way, when you rise up, when you lie down, make it a part of your life. Meditate in it often, constantly. Moving towards spiritual maturity. How do I inoculate myself against false doctrine? Well, make the truth a part of your daily life. Be so familiar with the truth that when something comes along that's not the truth, that you know it because you know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Avoid the new. You know, there's an allure for new. We like new things, don't we? New cars. We don't like new price tags, but we like new things. New cars, new boats, new houses, new ideas, new technology. I'll confess, I like new technology, but I'm always aware of the trade-off. What are they slipping in? When it comes to new theology, never before heard. It's okay to be a little bit cynical. Go back to the Bible. It's the truth. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. You know, this evening, Christian, we're warning about false doctrine. I would implore you to protect your mind against the false by studying what is true. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Obey the truth, derive your strength from the truth, and keep moving forward in the truth. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. Guide us. Help us, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls. Help us, dear Lord, not to get lazy when it comes to taking in your word on a daily basis. We are forgetful creatures. We forget the truth. We're imperfect creatures. We're imperfect in our resolve. Move us forward. Create in our hearts more of a hunger, more of a desire to know your truth, to obey the truth, to stand firm in it, that we might not be led astray. That, dear Lord, we might not pass on things that are not true, that we might raise up our children and our grandchildren and the next generation, that they might have a firm standing in the truth, not being led astray. In your name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed? If God's spoken to your heart tonight about a specific issue, would you do business with the Lord? Brother Lee, would you please close us in a word of prayer, after which you'll be dismissed.